I think that God has a bunch in store. I told you last week it's going to be a special week, and I want to welcome you. I want to welcome my father-in-law this morning to share a little bit, to stir you up in your most holy faith, to stir you up with testimonies and with things that God has been putting in his heart. And for those of you that don't know, my dad, Leon, is working with the largest Iris Global base in the world right now in Greenville, Tennessee. And him and my mother-in-law run a nonprofit called Harvest Time Encounters. He's also the missions director for James Gall's Global God Encounters Ministries. And so he's just dynamic, been doing that a long time, connected to James Gall, and been an intercessor for him for many years, and been doing missions with Heidi Baker and Roland Baker all the last 20 years or so, full of testimonies and doing stuff with Iris Global. And so I felt to bring him up here to share, to stir you up about what God is doing, what God can do in you, and how all you need to do is just get up and take the risk and go. Because that's a little bit of what I'm going to talk about today later on. So would you welcome to the pulpit my father-in-law and a man of God, Leon Hoover.
Hey, good morning, y'all. It's great to be back. Such an honor. Just everything that's happened so far, there's just things stirring inside of me. It's amazing. But this thing about the Natalies is pretty crazy, because the blonde-head Natalie used to be my Natalie Hoover, but she's not Natalie Hoover anymore. She's Natalie Koss. But I did get, you know, God returns everything, so now I have a Natalie Hoover again with the other one. So, and so when I'm texting Natalie Hoover, I'm like, oh, wait, no, that's the wrong one. I got to text Natalie Koss. And it happens a lot. But God is good. It's just so powerful to be here and to be here with Natalie Hoover's parents, to be here together, that God has joined these families and the worship that comes out. All of our kids, their kids and our kids are all powerful worshipers and musicians. It's great to be here. You know, I every time I come in a church and I look at the offering plates or baskets, I just think they're not big enough. You know, because, you know, I just want to, I can't fit in there. I can't put myself in that thing. It's not big enough. You know, and I love this verse out of 2 Corinthians 8. It says, you know, they gave beyond what they were able to give, and entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us to contribute. But then they exceeded all of our expectations, because they offered themselves first. They offered themselves first to the Lord. And that's just so powerful to me. And, you know, generosity is from beginning to end in the Bible. It's like it's kindergarten and it's a PhD. You start out, you know, the kindergarten level is just giving stuff you have. But then as you learn that, man, that feels good to give. Then you know, maybe you discover the joy of giving yourself to the Lord. And you guys know that. It's like you said, it's a house of giving. But, you know, that's one of the things that struck me as I was sitting here and fasting. Brother, you know, if you haven't listened to Mike Bickle talk about the bridegroom fast, pull that stuff up and listen to that. Because if you want your heart to burn for him, my other son-in-law in Greenville is releasing a song July 28th about Let It Fall Here. And he released one a couple of months ago called My Heart Wants You. And it's that Song of Solomon thing of I wake up in the middle of the night with my heart beating out of my chest. If you want to get to that place, if you're not in that place, if you're stuck, take the journey class, but fast. Because as you fast, you strip away. It's easy for God to get those weeds out of your heart. and for that hunger and thirst for righteousness to just begin to consume you. But your heart gets tender. It gets so tender. You know, and just a gentle breeze of the Holy Spirit will just undo you in a moment. You might be washing dishes. You might be taking the trash out. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just gives you a little kiss. And you're just... I got a river of life flowing out of me, and sometimes it causes me to not be able to speak. But give me a second, and I'll get it out. God is so good. You know, my wife was, we were talking this morning, and she shared a note out of her journal, and it said, "We must step into the story. We must step into the story God has made for us. Our history with Him is written before time." You know, and that's in the scripture. You know, that's Psalm 139. "Your eyes saw me, and I was inside the womb. All the days ordained for me were recorded in your scroll before one of them came into existence." We got to step into that story He's written for us, but, you know, we can choose to step away from that. It's like, that's uncomfortable. I don't want to do that. I mean, fasting, you want me to stop eating? Giving, you want me to give? I'm not going to read that chapter right now. I'm just going to scoot over here. But, you know, when you skip those chapters, you're missing these things that God has prepared in advance for you to do. And, you know, Natalie Koss talked about the crushing, right? And in James, it tells us to count it all joy when you encounter these various trials and tribulations. And we've been around people that say, you know, when I get sick, I just start rejoicing because it just presses me into God. You know, and the devil's just so stupid about that, because if we have clarity in the scripture, he's just confirming that we have no hope in this world. We have no hope in anything here that can deliver us, that can save us, that can heal us. Yes, certainly we've got things we do, and we use medicine, and we do the health things and all of that. But when it's all falling apart, where do you turn? You turn to Jesus. And he's just, when those trials and tribulations come, when that crushing comes, if you look up, then it becomes clear. And you can rejoice, and your heart can beat out of your chest with his presence. So some of y'all remember that Paul and I are all about getting God's word out to people. We've been Wycliffe Bible translators for a long time, and God brought us back to the States and dunked us in the river movement, and now we know about prophecy and gifts and all these wonderful things. But we still have this calling on us to give God's word. And so nowadays we're taking solar-powered audio Bibles around the world, different places. And we've got a new project coming up in August. We're going to take another 200 Bibles into Ukraine. And it's just amazing when these things get delivered to the front line. If you can put up that first picture of just the Bibles, there's two Bibles sitting there, if we can see that. That'd be good. Just show that to somebody. Somebody's up there doing that. But when they come up, let me know. But they're solar powered. They're ruggedized. They've got a USB port on the side, so you can plug your phone in if you happen to live in a war zone where there's no power grid. That's a good thing. And we're putting Ukrainian and Russian on them, so no matter who gets them, that's pretty amazing. So, and they've got a flashlight on the bottom where it's sitting down, and then that top part is like a reading light at night. So it's a very versatile device. It's loud enough for about anywhere from, depending on how closely you're sitting, 30 to 50 people to hear. You turn that thing on and you just hear the scripture. It's amazing. We've given these out in places in Africa where people cannot read. Either they've lost their eyesight or they never learned to read. It's amazing what these things do. So put the other one up, if you would, please. So we sent some back last year into Ukraine, and some other people have been sending them along. And this woman was wearing this Bible on a lanyard around her neck in her house, listening to the scripture. And then the village was attacked. And, you know, the tanks, rockets, all of it. And all these bullets started flying into her house. And one of them was marked for her. And it struck her in the chest, and it hit that Bible right there. And the Word of God saved her life. It's amazing. It is amazing. And she was able to get a picture of it and send it back out. And so we're excited about that. You can put something else back up there. But we're sending 200 Bibles now. We've got about 75% of the budget for that. It's about, $12,000. So we've got about $9,000 raised, and we're waiting for that next $3,000 to come in. And God's doing it. But I'm here to tell you to be a part of the story that God's written for you, to do your part. A couple weeks ago, I was minding my own business, doing my own thing, and I got this call from this corporate guy that I used to do things with. I was a CIO, chief information officer at hospitals for most of my career after I was a Bible translator. And this guy calls me, and we've only interacted at a corporate level. And he calls me, he says, "Hey, my friend has just and his wife have just taken in this teenage girl who was in an abusive situation, and they don't really know what to do. They've got young kids, and they're telling me all this stuff, and all I could think about was you, because I know you help rescue kids. So can you call them? Can you call this girl and maybe give them some advice, give them some help? You know, do they call child services? Do they, you know, what they don't know what to do." And, you know, the girl's dad had held a gun to her head and was about to shoot her and other things that were going on. And it was a bad situation. So I said, "Yeah, I can call." But he and I had never talked about this part of my life before. But he knew that I was involved in this. And he picked up the phone, and I hadn't talked to him in months. But he calls me. And so he gives me a phone number, and I call this girl. And I'm trying to get some information, you know, to help her figure out and talk to the family that's harboring her in this time frame. And as I'm talking to her, the Holy Spirit just says to me, "Don't get off the phone until you pray with her to receive salvation." And I'm like, "Okay, we're going to do it." It's somebody that I've never known, young teenage girl, don't know anything about her life, her history, her experience, nothing. But God said, "Lead her to me." And so, you know, I did that. I said, "Look, Hannah, we got to pray. You know, I don't know where you're at, but this is what I'm talking about." Explain the gospel to her. And I asked her, "Can I lead you in a prayer of repentance to salvation in Christ? And can I pray with you to receive the Holy Spirit to counsel and guide you and correct you and protect you?" And she said yes. And so we did that on the phone. And we hung up, you know, and she's in another state. I'm in East Tennessee, and there was no way for me to resolve that issue in her life. I could not bring a full resolution to that. But I did my part. I stepped into that chapter that God had for me in my story. And it wasn't too long after that, I think the next week or so, we're doing some things about Solar Bibles and getting this program together to go to Ukraine. And I hear about this guy that has been working in Ukraine and had been working in Ukraine for 5 or 6 years before the war started. And they tell me that he's doing something different now. He's rescuing people. And I'm like, "Okay, whatever." And I hear about that. And then the next day, I get another call. And this call says, "I know this person who's got a sister and some children who've had to flee from the Ukraine fighting. And they're now in Poland, but they had to leave in the middle of the night. They were near the border. They were able to get away. And they don't have anything. Do you know anybody that can help them?" And I said, "I just heard about a guy. Let me find out if I can get his phone number and call him." And so I did. I got his phone number, and I called this guy, Greg, And I said, Greg, my name's Leon. I heard about you through this person and this person. And he said, oh, yeah, I know those people. So we made the connection. And he says, yeah, when the war started, the Lord said to us, stop what you're doing in terms of ministry in Ukraine. Pivot and begin to provide safe harbor and refuge for widows and orphans as a result of this war. And we've been doing that. And they were rescuing people off the front lines and all of that. And they've got this whole network of families in Poland now, across Poland, who put their name on a list and said, hey, if you've got somebody, we'll bring them into our home for 2 weeks, a month, whatever we need to do while they can find something else to stabilize their lives. And he said, you know, who is she? How old is she? How old are her kids? I need this information so that I can find the right home to get them into. But, you know, if we can get connected on that, I can get them in a home tomorrow. I'm like, are you kidding me? I get this call out of the blue. Hey, can you help? This woman and three children are desperate. And I call this guy that I've never met, and he says, I can do it. I can get them somewhere for at least 2 weeks. And so we made the connection, and things worked out. I don't even know what the end of the detail is, but I did my part. And that's all God's asking you to do. He's asking you to do your part. And I'm telling you, if you will do your part and embrace the unknown, you know, it's like, well, you know, we like the training. We like the following people around and learning from them and doing things they're doing. But most of the time, we're not going to know what we're doing. We just have to follow him, and that's enough. If we will follow him, that is enough. So I got this verse, you know, out of Romans that we all know, Romans 10. How can they hear about someone if no one is proclaiming him? This is out of the Complete Jewish Bible version. And this is what what means so much to me, because in most of the translations it says, and how can people preach if they aren't sent? That's what most of the English translations say. But this Complete Jewish translation, which is based out of all the Hebraic culture and history, it says, how can people proclaim him unless God sends them? So when we read, how can people preach unless they are sent, we get this thing on us about, oh, well, we're supposed to send, you know. We got the people that go, we got the people that pray, we got the people that send, that give, you know. But that's not it at all. It's not on us to send anybody. It's on God. And when God sends somebody, guess what we get to do? We get to step up here and participate with God on sending somebody to Arkansas, on sending somebody to Ukraine, on sending somebody wherever God is sending them. It's not us sending. That's not ours. We don't get to own that. And we're in error if we think that we are sending somebody. I mean, there's an apostolic calling on this house, and y'all are, and that means y'all are supposed to be seeing people leave because they're sent ones. But you're not sending them. God's sending them. But you get to participate with God. You get to step into that part of your story to join with God in what you're doing. I read this verse years ago at a conference on a Saturday morning. Anybody here ever been to a conference, a Christian conference, speakers? Anybody here ever been to one that started on a Wednesday night and went through Saturday night? That gets kind of long, doesn't it? 3 sessions a day. What is wrong with us sometimes? Our heart's beating out of our chest, and we just want more. That's what it is. And it's good. But, you know, by Saturday morning, that crowd is a little bit light. That crowd gets a little bit light and a little bit sleepy. You got one guy up there with acoustic guitar, and you get through, you know, your songs, and there's a little bit of that going on. But I got up to do an offering, and I read this verse. And I had just found it back then in this version of the Bible. How can people proclaim him unless God sends them? And I said to them what I've just said to you. It's not on you to send anybody, but you get to participate with God. You get to give money if you want. You get to give yourself if you can fit yourself down in that basket. You know, you get to give whatever it is God has for you to give, whatever your part is in giving. Maybe it's giving yourself first to God. Not a lot in this crowd that need to give themselves first to God for the first time. But we always need to, every day, give ourselves to God. And that's what being a missionary in America is all about. You know, my daughter and son-in-law in Greenville, Tennessee, they thought they were going to be working somewhere else around the world. But God said, no, I want you to work right here in Greenville, Tennessee. And, you know, they're... how old are they? 20, they're 30 and 31 at this point in time. But they own two houses. They got an adopted son that's 20. They adopted him when they were 20 and 21. He was 12. You know, those school meetings were kind of weird. The teacher's like, he's 12 and you're 20. What's going on here, you know? And they've got all these different kinds of things going on that I've talked about before that God's doing in Greenville, Tennessee. But they gave themselves first to the Lord, and the Lord said, I want you to work here, not there. I want you to have things in America. I want you to have the houses. I want you to have the pets. I want you to have the cars. But I want you to get up every morning and lay it down. Lay it all down for me. And so every morning they get to choose to lay all the things down and give themselves to the Lord every morning. And as they've been doing that, God has brought people from all over the world to Greenville, Tennessee. It's uncanny. We just had a family from Italy leave their mission work in Italy and move to Greenville, Tennessee. they got three little kids, like Georgia and Brave, little. And they, God said, okay, stop doing what you're doing in Italy. I want you now in Greenville. I've got a chapter for you to walk in. I've got a part for you to do. So, you know, as we do that, you know, keep us in your prayers about getting the last bit of this money in to get these Bibles distributed out on the front lines of Ukraine. It's exciting to see God put all the pieces together. And as everybody does their part, wonderful things happen. So I'm going to leave that with you.
Amen. Yeah, the solar-powered Bibles is... there's so many testimonies. We could be here all day. And we just might. How about it? Y'all ready to go? There was when he went to, I don't know, Ethiopia and Uganda last year. How many Bibles did he take with you? 350 Bibles. So it's like $15,000-$20,000 worth of these. $18,000 worth of solar-powered audio Bibles. And they got held up in customs because everyone wants to skim off the top, say, pay taxes on this before it comes in. And while they were held in customs, they were there for days at a time, and you were trying to figure out a solution. And one of the ladies working in the customs storage area all of a sudden started hearing a voice. And what she realized was it was the word of God in her own native tongue. One of the Bibles had turned on in one of the bags. And what our prayers were, what? That the word of God would be heard in Africa, in Ethiopia, in Uganda. And guess what? One of the Bibles turned on and the word of God was heard right there in that customs place, and those Bibles were eventually released. But he's been doing that for many, many years, taking solar-powered Bibles into Africa, into the different nations across Africa, and now into Europe and Ukraine. So we should bless them. We should pray for them and bless them and give them an apostolic blessing. I want to encourage you right where you're at right now, if you feel stirred about the mission that they are on, I want to raise up, I want to take up an offering for them, see if we can meet that, the rest of that few thousand dollars that they need to send more Bibles into Ukraine. And they have a checkpoint in Poland in just a few weeks from now, right? 3 or 4 weeks. So it's August 10th. So they'll be in Brazil in a week or two doing some ministry there, and then they'll be sending Bibles into Poland. And so the word of the Lord and the power of God is all over them to do this. And I just want to bless them in that. So would you, Dad, would you come up here and let's extend our hands. Mom, come up here too. We'll bless both of them. So just reach your hands towards Paula and Leon here. And let's bless them as they take this on. It takes a lot of faith to do what they're doing. A lot of faith, and it takes a lot of hands to partner with. And that's you, and that's you online watching. And so as you extend your hands in agreement with what the Lord is doing in their life, let us pray in power and in faith, believing that this money will be raised and that the work will be full of the power of God. So Lord, we declare that the work is complete. We see things that are not as if they already are. And we thank you for every dollar being raised. And we thank you for the word of the Lord going forth into Eastern Europe. We thank you for the word of the Lord going into Ukraine and going into Russia and going into the ears and the hearts of people there that don't have power, that need the word of God. It says that faith comes by hearing. And Lord, we say that these audio Bibles, these solar-powered audio Bibles, will go in to Ukraine and into Russia and the Russian-speaking world that is at war right now, that is struggling, and the grids are being shut down. Lord, we pray for the word of the Lord to revive hearts, to ignite people, to bring the lost home, to save people, to bring your word of life into their hearts, Lord. And so we agree right now as we extend our hands in faith, and we agree, our hearts agree, our hands agree, and we send you forth and we say, go in power and go in the fullness of the gospel. Go in the fullness of God's spirit as you step into this. And right now, as you feel led, I just want to take up an offering. I want to just encourage you. You can give online at thecitygate.org. Just ask the Lord, just take a moment and just ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me give? What sacrifice can I bring to partner with them, to agree with them? Maybe it's $20, maybe it's $50, maybe it's $100, maybe it's $500, maybe it's $1,000, maybe something that, I'm gonna give you 30 seconds to just ask the Lord, Lord, what can I give into this right now? Lord, what can I give that's not a convenient offering? Not an offering of convenience, but an offering of conviction. Lord, we thank you that you're speaking. Thank you, God, that you're putting on our hearts and our minds what to sow into for this mission. Thank you, Lord, that our offering is a seed that will take root downward and bear fruit upwards in other people's lives. And this seed that you're sowing is going to bear fruit in their life, but it's also going to bear fruit in your life. That's what's going to happen. That's how seed works. So let's give the Lord a hand clap and bless them.